Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shippen, 79 degrees and mostly sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. And I had an interesting weekend. That's, for lack of better words, I hope you had a stress-free one yourself. Well, we were almost on the brink of war, it seems like, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark pulling back just at the 11th hour. Apparently, Iran, so the media says, they walk in lockstep with the administration, under the guise of patriotism, which is not very bright. The fourth stage is supposed to be just that, the fourth power to critically analyze information that's emanating from the administration. At any rate, the administration claims that Iran shot down a drone over international waters, probably over the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran calls its territory, which it does. But, we claim territory 200 miles out of each ocean that borders the United States, so on the Pacific, Oceanside, which is California, or all up and down the West Coast, all the way up to Washington State. 200 miles out is considered, United States territory. Same with the Atlantic Ocean on the East Coast from Maine all the way down to Florida. 200 miles out is considered the only place, the Gulf of Mexico in that area. We don't claim that because, there are other sovereign island nations in that area, Cuba and Santo Domingo, Bermuda, and on and on and on, the rest of the Caribbean. So if you claim 200 miles out in that area, you would be well into the territory of a sovereign island nation. So that's probably what occurred. But we don't analyze anything. People just take what the media says or what the administration propagates as truth, and it's not. You have to be extraordinarily careful, which is what I do. I verify, man. I don't. I've learned my lesson with that. Just taking things at face value. I verify and verify, and then I verify again. Never taking anything for granted. So that's where we are. I don't quite know what's going to become of this because we're fully in the midst of election season and Trump supporters are solidly behind him. And we have yet another candidate throw his hat in the ring on the Democratic side. So now you have, I believe, 25 Democratic nominees for president. And obviously, it's going to get culled down, rapidly. It's no way on earth that coming into next year, we're going to have nearly as many people. Malcolm Nance, a former intelligence officer in the Navy, chief petty officer, did a lot of intelligence for the U.S. Navy. It was his job, so, he's probably operational. He had an interesting tweet, about Cory Booker throwing Joe Biden over the bridge, confusing that metaphor some type of way. I know I am. Joe Biden apparently said something relative to civility. Joe Biden's, he's an older guy, so he's all over the place. And that's what Booker was talking about. And said something about, there's no more civility in the Senate. And, apparently, people took issue with it because it implies that because you have all these minority types coming in to the Senate, a lot more women, of color, that the civility is gone. And I think it's a phenomenon that is associated primarily with Trump. You know, he ordered in this era of incivility. I mean, really, he has to take ownership of it. You know, I was reflecting on this a lot, really, over the last, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks, you know, about my own demeanor and behavior and that sort of thing, you know, and dealing with people and adversity, you know, because, you know, people are tough and, you know, they, you know, they'll give you a hard time for no good reason. And, you know, I think it's how you respond that's the measure of the man or the woman. And I, you know, my responses have been too nice. And I was like, wait a minute, is this the way I really want to portray myself? So, you know, I have a lot of issues going on. And I said, I don't want to add that one to the issues that I have going on in my life. So I've decided to pull back and, you know, unless the person being overtly disrespectful, I refuse to engage. And that's what occurred this weekend. You know, somebody came over and uninvited and very extraordinarily disrespectful, almost violent, you know. So, you know, we had to involve, you know, law enforcement, that sort of thing. You know, it was really ugly, painful, actually, to deal with that. You know, and I'll leave it like that. So, you know, I'm trying to change my demeanor in response to adversity, you know, and not so much feed into it, which I think feeds the beast. I really do. And that's what we see evident in this country, in a broader society, where Trump ordered in this era of incivility, you know, where nothing's off base anymore, you know, family and, you know, he, you know, talked really disrespectfully about some of the candidates' wives and parents, and, you know. And I think the fact that they forgave him and came back into his sphere of influence is what gave the imprimatur of normalcy. In other words, it normalized what is incivil behavior. So, you know, I think that beyond the other legacies that this guy is going to leave us, you know, that is also going to be one of them. And that's what Cory Booker was talking about with Biden, because Biden is implying, you know, obviously he's not implying it. How would I say this? He's not doing it, you know, because he is a racist or a bigot. He is a privileged white man. And he fully understands that he enjoys privilege. And so when he says that there was civility and I worked with segregationists and that sort of thing, you know, back in the 70s when all these guys were still out of the closet, so to say. I mean, there was no, there's some people in the Senate and the Congress now that are Steve King and Louis Gohmert. You know, these guys are outrageous. You know, this clown from Ohio, Jim Jordan. So, you know, they're not so far behind, you know, Strom Thurmond and those senators and congressmen of late in terms of, you know, being radically, you know, overtly racist. You know, and they're, you know, how they talk about, you know, President Obama, who was a real president, unlike, you know, the current occupant of 1300 Pennsylvania Avenue. So, you know, a lot of people, not only Booker, but a lot of the other candidates took issue with him. And a lot of establishment Democrats rushed to his defense. And I understand the whole, you know, I'm looking at the larger picture here from geopolitical and socioeconomic, you know, all the various perspectives that we could draw on to understand this phenomena that we see, you know, where, you know, it's you know, people are giving this guy a pass for flat out lies. I mean, the guy's told upward to 10,000 lies. And it used to be where, I mean, totally debased off to the presidency. I mean, that's, I mean, we could leave it there. But I just want to say that, you know, I understand where Nancy Pelosi is coming from, where she says she doesn't want to debate, not debate, to impeach. And the progressives, these young, radical, oftentimes female, congresspersons are, you know, are saying, hey, nah, we got to do our job, you know, we got to impeach this guy. And Nancy Pelosi is holding a line and saying, well, if we don't have bipartisan support to impeach the president, what are we doing? We're just spinning our wheels. And I understand that, a worthless effort. I understand also that we can't set a precedent, no pun intended, by allowing Chump Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, to get away unscathed with these overt corruption and criminality that he's perpetrating. He's set up on television, you know. He's his own press secretary now, since Sarah Huckabee is out. And basically brazenly lied to, you know, two major ones, you know, George Stephanopoulos, and then he gave another one with Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd pushed back hard, and I'm shocked because Chuck Todd is, you know, he's a wimp. You know, basically he doesn't push back on anything. You know, he allows these people to just flat out lie. But he did say something when, you know, because Trump was going on and on and on, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that. Chuck Todd finally said, yeah, we know you don't like Obama. Or you didn't feel he was a cheerleader. He said, no, he wasn't a cheerleader. This is Chump. So at any rate, you know, he boxed himself into a corner with Iraq, much like Obama did with Syria, where he said there's going to be a red line, and if Syria crosses it, it's going to be problematic for Syria, you know, if they use chemical weapons again, which they probably did. Assad, you know, Assad is a, I believe he's a, I don't want to say a dentist, I think he's an ophthalmologist. This guy's a trained professional, and, you know, to be this inhumane is, it's just, you know, I feel bad about a lot of stuff, but, you know, the way he's treating these, his own people, these children, just to maintain his clutch on power, and that's what, you know, people fear about Trump, that if he loses and the election is close, and it's going to be close, he's going to lose, trust me, mark my words here, you know, we cannot by any means stretch the imagination think that it is going to be a slam dunk against this guy simply because of the character issues. It's not. He has an entrenched segment of the American population that agrees with his racist, bigoted, you know, myopic worldview. That's 44% of the voting, but it's not 44% of the United States, obviously. And that's not enough to get him elected, but if he can, you know, split the vote by having a third-party candidate come in, a Green Party or, you know, Working Families or, you know, one or the other fringe third parties come in and split the vote, he can eke out a victory with 45%. He really can. So my prediction is this, is that Trump is going to lose by 2 or 3 percentage points. That's it. He is not going to like that. He isn't. And there is a distinct possibility that he may not concede. And I've said this in tweets, you know, not everybody's picking up on it. And I say, I write a lot of original stuff, and that's why what I'm going to do instead of, you know, and I have been doing it, but it's laborious, and, you know, I'm in transition here, and I'll be in transition, God willing, for the next few months. But until my transition is complete, you know, there is no way for me to memorialize every single thing that I write. But typically when I post on Facebook and when I tweet something, not so much on Instagram, and I just started using Instagram because I had a tablet for many, many years, and I had an app, and I just never put in the password. I just, and, you know, I did it a couple of weeks ago, and I love Instagram. I always did, but I used to look at it online. But if you're online, because it is an Android app, you cannot post. It allows you to look at content, but it won't allow you to post. I mean, there are programs that allow you to use Android-powered devices or Android-powered, applications in Windows and, other programs, but like Vine and that sort of thing. But I never went that way. So at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that, I'm posting a lot of original content and, not a lot of credit for, which is good and bad, because I can prove that I originated the idea, but who cares, who's done a shipment. So that's part of the problem. So I need to memorialize my writing more, and like I said, I'm writing a book, but because I'm in transition, I haven't had the time to really buckle down and get to it. And, it's kind of difficult because I'm doing, quite a few things. And like I said, when you have to depend on people, and I believe in agency. I believe in taking charge, carpe diem, taking charge of your life and that sort of thing. Now, I had to find a balance between being too aggressive or proactive or assertive and not passive. I've never been passive, but just being too aggressive. Now, I don't know why my battery is not charging here. Let's go to another plug while I'm talking to you, because it should be charging with this particular charger, which is the best one I have. And for some reason, it does not. And I don't want the show to end prematurely because of a bad connection. Doesn't seem to want to see this one either. I don't know what's going on. Both operational. So let me try one other thing here and see if this works. Hopefully, I'm still on. Yeah, I am. All right. All right, that seemed like it works. So yeah, so I'm on, and let me just make sure that my internet connection is up. And I apologize for talking through this little problem that I had to find a solution to. But so that's and it's going to be interesting. I don't look forward to anything like that because that would throw the country into severe turmoil. I don't know if it will. I think we're, I've always said that I think we're on the brink of a civil war. I really do, because save for some Negroes in an African American community that no matter what the dominant culture does, they're right there with them, supporting them, being apologists for them. I think that people, especially the young, millennials and the next group under them, and then there's another, obviously, this generation is always coming, but they're already teenagers, so I don't know what that, Gen Xers, and then after Gen Xers, there's another group that my son is in. So these are, kids that are still preteens and, in grade school, school-age children. Primarily, I don't think that, I think that a lot of them were surprised that the racism we see evident, which has become front and center now in this country, because now we're talking about reparations. Yeah, and this is a good thing, there's always a silver lining to a cloud. There really is. I honestly believe that. I'm not just being, optimistic. There is honestly, you cannot get away with, this is why I really think long and hard about the things that I do. I really do. And as adults, we all should, but often we don't. If that were the case, then there wouldn't be need for you know, a lot of the disputes that we find ourselves embroiled in on a daily basis, you know, whether it's in a personal or professional or, you know, business, economically, that sort of thing. So, this is going to be interesting. I think this is a political scientists are going to be talking about. I think people are going to be writing theses, you know, in political, so not only political science, some of the other humanities and the arts, social sciences, about this presidency, you know, because I think what Trump can bring, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's not that I think, this is not anecdotal or even biographical. This is, I'm telling you, I can factually support this. We have come to the brink with this guy in office. I mean, really, you know, we really, just like, and Biden, this is where I agree with Biden. I don't like Biden as a candidate. You know, I think that, however, if he does become the candidate, I'll support his candidacy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there is absolutely no ifs, ands, buts about it. If he becomes a president, I will support, I mean, not president, the presidential nominee, Democratic nominee, president, I will be 110% behind him, cheerleading, because there is no way we can survive another 4 years of this administration. It really isn't. And people say, you know, especially these old Negroes, man. I mean, I've seen one guy, and I was telling the group that I'm on Facebook, that, you know, they had an event. I don't know if it was the Orlando event or the event that was prior to that. It was probably an Orlando event. And so it was Bikers for Trump that were escorting, you know, persons in, you know, that wanted to be part of the rally or the campaign event, whatever you want to designate it. So it was this old black guy that shuffled up. I mean, you know, he's clearly elderly, well into his 70s. There's no way possible he could have been 60 walking like that. Well into his 70s, you know, like my father's age or something like that. And was asking the guy some inane foolishness and then shuffled on into the rally. And I was like, almost pulling my hair out. I was talking to, well, not talking, sharing text messages or posts or with, you know, with my Facebook group that I'm part of. And, you know, it was just, you know, brothers were saying that, you know, these guys are out there. I know it. And I just, it's unfathomable to me, however, that self-respecting black person would vote for Trump. He hates us. I'm telling you, I know the guy. I don't know him personally, but he's a New Yorker like us. So we know we watched Trump for years, man. The guy is a run-of-the-mill bigot. I'm telling you, there's no way on earth. He, in his book, I tell you, this is an example, and I'm sure the apologists for this guy will ignore it. He has such a where he talks about two accountants that he had, and they were both African American. And he turns around and asks one of his aides, "What are these guys doing? I want somebody with a beanie cap, or, you know, on counting my money. I don't want these guys counting my money." Literally, he wrote this in the book. And so I'm positive those guys didn't last long there. I guarantee you that day, whenever that was in the 80s or the 90s. Those guys got their walking paper. And if you look at his time, he runs an organization from the top down. So persons with titles in his organization work doesn't mean that it's meaningless, because he just like he's trying to run a presidency where he's second guessing his secretary, which is, I mean, back. At the turn of the century, that wasn't a bad thing. They didn't have all these secretaries anyway. I understand that in the large bureaucracy. but it also presupposes that you're competent. And so if you wanna run, you know, an organization like a tyrant, at least be a competent tyrant. But this guy is anything but competent. So, you know, he's second guessing all his. You know, you get, none of these guys can go out and speak for fear of Trump coming back behind him and contradicting him. You know. And we haven't even gotten into the deportation issue. I mean, that would take up a couple of shows, not even, you know, one show. It would take up literally a couple of shows. So that's where we are with Monsieur Trump. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the terrorists. I don't even know what's going to happen with these farmers. Why they're still supporting him is beyond me. I don't believe a lot of them are, but, you know, because, you know, when it comes down to bread and butter issues, which is one's ability to take care of his or her family, I think that, you know, your political ideology, if it conflicts with that, then I think that, you know, it's no-brainer what's going to go. And what's going to go in that particular case is one's political ideology, because you cannot sacrifice your family or alter your political ideology. Even though some people have, man, you read sad posts all the time about families becoming estranged as a direct consequence of certain family members' support for Trump to bring their comic carnival barker, while others are more progressive and enlightened and recognize this monster for what he is, you know, someone, you know, with a wrecking ball. That, you know, what remnants of democracy that we had left in this country, he has taken a cudgel to it. I mean, it's just absolutely shameful that the Republicans have sat on their hands, man, and just watched this guy totally dismantle what remnants, tattered remnants, representative democracy we had left in this country. It's outrageous. It really is. There's no other way to describe the wholesale destruction that this guy has visited upon this country. It really isn't. He's a Colin Powell, you never even hear from him anymore, but he said early on, prior to Chuck even gaining the Republican nomination, that the guy is a national embarrassment and an international pariah. And that is absolutely true. And you never hear Colin Powell about it anymore. He said what he said, and that is the most apt. And that was before, I think Trump was just announcing that he was running. I don't think that he had actually gotten the nomination yet. And it was just the most prescient description, characterization of Trump in this administration that I had heard, and you know, I just wonder why. You know, well, maybe Colin Powell is saying something. I don't think I have him on my feed, so what I'm going to do is I'm sure he has a Twitter account or a Facebook account, you know, highbrow, lowbrow, that sort of thing. So I'm going to look him up on Twitter, see if he has a Twitter account, General Colin Powell. And see if he's saying something about it, because I would like to hear his analysis. You know, and I don't always agree with him. I think he went out and really compromised his integrity by lying us into the war. You know, he's saying it was based on the faulty intelligence. Even I don't deny it, but I'm saying you're a general officer, and certainly I would, even though you're black, African American, I wouldn't hesitate to believe that. You know, a colonel type, or somewhat, you know, below flag rank, would just, you know, give you misinformation. But we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. So keep tuned right here, Mark and Pulpit in National New York District. Yours truly, Dennis Shipman.
this field.